You have to begin, and you're going to have to solve a lot of problems along the way. So you need to start getting some of those questions answered. I think people get held up sometimes because what happens is they think, oh, I don't want to tell people my idea because they might take it. But let me tell you, no one's going to take your idea.
Nick Barrett's life was a mess until he was 30. He stumbled about without purpose and slowly killing himself from alcoholism, ungratefully, resentfully, and lustfully. Then, through legal trouble / divine intervention, he had an awakening and has been on a journey of self-improvement that continues daily. Nick founded Cordbrick in 2020, and they've been growing ever since. Recently featured on the Today Show and soon entering major retailers, his goal is to build a lasting brand of quality products. Before Cordbrick, he had zero product development experience. In 4 years, he's earned a utility patent by the USPTO and won $10,000 and the coolest product at NRF 2023. Check out Cordbrick at cordbrick.com or at Cordbrick on social media. The links will be in the show notes.
You're listening to Success in Mind, the show for high-performing leaders, changemakers, and entrepreneurs ready to take your life and business to the next level. If you're ready for whole life success, keep listening. Are you ready to unleash your voice to the world? Do you have a story to share, but you're not sure where to start? Introducing the Launch Your Podcast Challenge. Join us for an intensive 5-day journey where you will learn everything you need to know to launch your own podcast. From crafting captivating content to mastering the technical side of recording, editing, and publishing, we've got you covered. Don't miss this opportunity to turn your passion into a powerful podcast. Sign up now and let's kickstart your podcasting journey together. Visit terryholland.ca/5-day-podcast. The link is in the show notes. Hey, Nick, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Terry, glad to be here.
So I want to start with your idea for Cordbrick. How did this idea come to you? Because I think it's so fascinating when people create a product out of an idea and can bring it into the marketplace. So that's where I'd like to start today.
Yeah. So I'm a guy and I'm 37. And so I'm a millennial too. And I would call myself lazy. So that's a me thing. But the reason that I thought of the idea is because really I was lazy. I was in bed and my phone cord just kept falling on the floor. I'd be, you know, wanting to go to sleep and then someone would text me, a girlfriend or something like that at the time. And my phone cord would fall on the floor and I thought it was annoying. It would go under the nightstand or under the bed and I'd have to get on, you know, get out of bed, turn on the light, wake myself up, move some furniture around or something, at least depending on where I was or what my bedside charging situation was. And I thought, man, I could just use a brick that I would put on my nightstand, on my bed sheet, anywhere. And then you could even wrap your cord around the brick. And, you know, because you travel with these phone cords now, and then now we've got several other devices, because this was back in 2015 when I originally, you know, had the idea for Cordbrick. Yeah. And so now, you know, I decided to create the actual brick.
That's amazing. It's, you know, it's funny because when we were connecting for this interview and I was, of course, checking out your website and stuff, I was like, I need to order like 10 of these. I need them in every part of my house, because you're right. Like that is,
yeah.
I'm looking at the cable for my phone hanging on my desk and it's always falling on the floor. So it's what a great product. And it's solving a problem that I didn't even realize I had until I was looking at all of your stuff. And I was like, this is a huge annoyance for me every day. And so I'm definitely going to be getting some.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I hear that all the time. Like people always say to me, man, it's so simple. Like I should have thought of this. And I think that's actually a great compliment, because they see the idea and they're like, oh yeah, there's no adhesive. It's reusable, movable. Mm-hmm. I need these all at every charging station all over the house, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like a minor inconvenience, cord falling behind, whatever, but you're doing it every day. You're needing a little battery, a little juice here and there, wherever you are, in the kitchen, at the desk, something like that. And so just convenient to grab the cord, move the cord brick wherever you need it nearby. And then you could even use it for other stuff like standing your phone too. So that's kind of a little added benefit of having them around.
That's very cool. So for someone listening who maybe has an idea and they don't know where to start, what would you suggest for them?
Yeah, I get this question all the time on other podcasts. I speak at FGCU to the entrepreneurship school there. You know, people have connected me with local entrepreneurs just in my geographic area that want to talk about products, and, you know, particularly products, because that's, you know, what I have experience in. I would say the first thing is to, this sounds crazy, but to start, okay? You've got to actually start building or doing whatever your idea is. And that can be a lot of different things, right? It could be just writing down a certain amount of ideas. That could be some research related to processes involved that maybe you don't know, but you know that you're going to have to learn about. That could be talking to someone in that industry or someone who's already doing that. If you can get access to that person, even better. You know, for me, the best people to talk to are other entrepreneurs. And particularly for me, the best people to talk to are product focused and people with product companies, because that's what I have. So because they've been through the ringer, they've done this the hard way and, you know, learned a lot of lessons, they can tell me, you know, what I need to do and how realistic my idea is. Another, you know, way to do that is to, you know, reach out to different volunteer organizations. In my local city, we have a chapter of SCORE, which is a volunteer organization. So there's people like that and organizations like that, people that want to share their knowledge, and that's free. So I would say you have to begin and you're going to have to solve a lot of problems along the way. So you need to start getting some of those questions answered. I think people get held up sometimes because what happens is they think, oh, I don't want to tell people my idea because they might take it. But let me tell you, no one's going to take your idea. First of all, you know, eventually, yes, someone's going to take your idea, right? And the competition and capitalism in our marketplace allows for different variations. And if you are successful enough, eventually somebody will. But that won't happen until you're making enough money to make it worth it for someone else to copy you. And then they're going to have to compete with you. And so they're going to have to do something to differentiate themselves from you, whether it be a lower price, higher price, more features. So it's going to be something different anyways. So I'm never really that worried about, and I always encourage other entrepreneurs to share their ideas, tell people their ideas, because people are going to poke holes in it that you didn't think of as well. And it's going to help you develop your ideas and figure out a lot of the problems ahead of time. And so then that'll change what you do and spend your time on.
Oh, that's, you know, because I'm thinking about myself and I've had product ideas in the past where I've done the exact opposite and I've kept it to myself and then never did anything with it. So this is making a lot of sense.
Yeah, write it down too, because you don't know when you'll pursue those ideas and it might not be the right time and new technology or new uses or just, you know, the way people are doing things might change and it might become like, oh, this is really a much better time as time goes along. That old idea I had, now it makes even more sense. So I always keep a little notebook of my other ideas that I have too, in case, you know, I want to act on them later.
That's a great idea. And can you tell us a bit more about your journey in terms of creating this product and maybe what some of the challenges were that you faced and how you overcame?
Yeah. So as I mentioned at the beginning of this interview, I'm 37 years old and I started this company 4 years ago. So that leaves a little bit of time between then and the beginning of my life, right? So, you know, growing up, great childhood, went to Penn State for college. I had grown up in the Philly suburbs area. So Penn State was in school for me. I had several different jobs in marketing and property management. Eventually, when I turned 30, I got in a little bit of trouble. I had a problem with alcohol and I stopped drinking. So actually coming up on March 11th, if I can continue it, it'll be 7 straight years of no drinks for me. So that's been a huge difference and change in my life. I really think I resonate with a lot of the younger people today. I think that see so much going on in the world and they think, where's the room for me? You know, everything's already been done. Everything's already been invented. What new or great could I add? And, you know, am I worth it? Am I worthy? And you're seeing, of course, everyone's best face being put forward online and stuff like that. So, you know, I myself had a low self-esteem and low self-confidence and, you know, getting sober was the first part of changing that for me. But then doing this startup and kind of teaching myself along the way, learning the product development, getting success in sales, and then giving affirmation from people that it was something really useful and they thought I should go on Shark Tank. I've heard thousands of times. So, you know, you hear that, it can't help but kind of boost your confidence. So that's been my journey and it's been a complete personal transformation for me. I personally was so lazy, as I described myself, right? I you know, didn't think I was capable of having the willpower that it really takes, you know, working 60, 70, 80 hours a week on something as an entrepreneur, as you pretty much have to be, to get where you want to get to.
Did you ever struggle with things like imposter syndrome or doubts? And what are some of the ways that you overcame them? And do you still struggle with any of those things today?
Yeah, I'm making faces as you say that, like, absolutely. I just said to someone last week, I feel like I have imposter syndrome going to this big event. I just joined this group called Board of Advisors. You can check them out, boardofadvisors.com. Oh, yeah. It's a bunch of entrepreneurs because I realized that, I think I actually said already, entrepreneurs are the best people for me to learn from because mm-hmm. they've been where I am or where I want to go anyways.
Yeah.
And so this is a network group of entrepreneurs and help each other and have got, you know, quarterly meetings and whatnot. So, but when I was going to that just a couple of weeks ago, I thought, oh man, I can fit in with these guys. These are all really successful people and I'm, you know, just growing my startup and we're just getting there, but you know, they all welcomed me in and they love the idea and were maybe a little bit more critical than the average person is because they know how hard it is to launch and grow a business, scale a business. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you still, yeah, you I still deal with
felt
it.
That. Yeah, yeah. 100%. So I know the feeling.
Yeah. And that's, you know, something that everyone that I talk to, every entrepreneur at every stage of business, it seems to still come up for them. And I find that so fascinating that no matter where
it'll
we
never
are.
Stop. Yeah, there's always someone that you're going to look up to and idolize and think this person is larger than life, you know? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think nobody knows what's going on here, really. So we're all just figuring it out and going along the way with the best information we have at hand. And I think I myself used to kind of make the mistake of thinking that people know what's going on in my head more than they actually do.
Right,
and that gives you a little bit of self-doubt when you're dealing with other people. But you know, you don't have to reveal as much uncertainty as you have, and people will realize that you don't have that uncertainty, and they'll just begin to kind of share little tidbits that they think might help you at that stage.
That's amazing. That's really a great insight. Can you tell us a bit more, too, about your sober journey and how that's changed your life and changed the course of your life?
Absolutely. Yeah. At first, I was humbled extremely by the law. I had 3 DUIs and luckily I never got in the accident and hurt anybody. So that was very fortunate, but I completely regret, you know, making the decisions to do that. And yeah, alcohol had taken me completely out of control from a self-control perspective. And, you know, before that I had, you know, before I got sober, I remember looking at myself in the mirror and screaming at myself, please don't do this again another day. And I literally couldn't control my body from walking to buy alcohol at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, at the very end of it. That was really where it led to me. And that, you know, that third DUI, you know, getting out of jail, they put an alcohol ankle monitor on me. And basically what that is it's unbelievable that this is true, but it can sense alcohol from your pores. So if you have even one drink, it will go off or record that data. And then I had to sleep with a wireless transmitting device within 30 feet of me for 3 or 4 months after that as a court order. So yeah, that was part of me getting bailed out from jail. Otherwise, I would have had to stay in jail if I refused that. So I figured that was probably worth it. And so I had pretty high incentive to not drink at that point. Court date was upcoming. And that, you know, if I failed that, I definitely would have been going to jail for a lot longer than I did, which I was still sentenced to 60 days and, you know, served 40 of those days. You get a certain percentage off for good behavior. Right. But I had went to rehab during that time and you know, took it very seriously because I knew the consequences at that point. And I'm not sure if it wasn't for something like that and the law to step in and, you know, that particular device, you know, that I would have been so eager to actually do it. You know, I think in the back of my mind, I definitely knew that this was a major problem for me and I didn't have self-control and the willpower to stop. But this, I knew this was my opportunity, you know, as soon as that day occurred and I dove in, I went to AA. Yeah. I was going to 3 and 4 meetings a day. I was praying a lot and, you know, just asking a lot of people who, just like I mentioned in, you know, as entrepreneurs, I like talking to other entrepreneurs because they've been there before. I like talking to other alcoholics because they understand what it's like to you know, have those problems and. You know, my story was not unique, I found. You know, I thought that I was some person that was the only one suffering from these problems and no one understood and it was like me. But no, actually a lot of other people were like me and had done way worse and had come back from it and lived very successful, happy lives. And I think the other thing is just being more at peace with themselves because at the end of the day, the reason that people drink or use substances or have any addiction whatsoever is to change the way that they feel inside, right? They need to do something different to change a feeling. And so... You know, once I realized that, it's been a whole transformation of my personal self. And I feel like it's continued into a personal and self-improvement journey that has been ongoing. And I'm just extremely fortunate for every person, you know, that was involved in me being able to have these opportunities to still go and do these things after, getting into some serious trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw in your write-up that I was reading that you refer to it as a divine intervention. And that's exactly what it sounds like to me. I'm not a fan of people saying things happen for a reason, because I think some things are just shitty. But I do believe that sometimes life intervenes with us and there is that divine intervention that sets us on the right course. And that's exactly, I think, what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think you make the reason is what happens. Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. There is free will in this world, but because of that, I think that you're right. Not everything does happen for a reason. And I think that's the harsh reality. And unfortunately, but what that does, what that does make happen is it means that, you need to go out and get whatever you can. So, if you think that you deserve better, it's there for you. So go and try. And there's going to be things in everybody's way. Everyone has unexpected things happen to them. The level of that just is, is random. It does seem. So just try to keep putting yourself in the best position. Some of the learnings from AA, I would say, is surround yourself with the five people who you want to emulate, who are living a life that is one that you would be envious of, So try to be around those people, and it tends to happen that your life becomes more like that. You pick little things up that they're doing that you don't even know that they're doing that are resulting in those things happening for them.
Yeah. I love that insight. Thank you for that. How has that shift in your mindset and your thinking, how do you think that's led to your success as an entrepreneur?
In a lot of ways. So the first one would be the humility way. And there's a paragraph in the AA Big Book that talks about acceptance. And so before you get to acceptance, and people know this from the five stages of grief, right? It's denial. And I was living in denial about everything in my life, really. And so what I've started to do is try to move to acceptance. And so I equate it to something I've heard lately, which is that, certain people seem to be able to lie to themselves. It's like, how do they do that? Mm-hmm. And I was one of those people. So I will tell you how I know. And I've heard other people say this. And I think what happens is if you practice anything, you'll get better at it. And if you practice lying to yourself, you're going to get better at lying to yourself. And there's going to come to a point where you're so good at rationalizing. And people say this word rationalizing. Yeah. It's rationalizing, all right, because you're not hearing the other side of the argument, right? You're shutting out that other side of the argument when you're rationalizing, and you're practicing lying to yourself and convincing yourself of something that may not be completely purely the truth. And so, by becoming not practicing and accepting the truth and living in denial in a fantasy world, you don't move to that second stage and you get stuck. So it's really hard to not have success when you are constantly accepting the truth, because then you go to the third step, which is action, right? You take that action and start doing something to change whatever you need to change based on the true thing, which is the acceptance that you've been able to see then.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Can you tell us about the Build Something initiative? I'm curious to hear about
that. Yeah, thanks. That's like my personal mission. It's something I'm very passionate about. I've mentioned that I speak to entrepreneurs, students at FQCU, local school here in Southwest Florida. But my main mission, the first part of that mission started when I was building these bricks, right? These cord bricks.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, I really want to give back to the people that have given so much back to me to allow me this journey of sobriety. And so what could I do? Oh, I could build something. I could build housing. Because when you're early in recovery, a lot of times you've been kicked out of your house. You don't have anywhere to live. Right. The people that you're living with are even part of the problem a lot of times, enablers, or they don't really know how. Maybe they're drinkers themselves. And so you need a place to go that is a sober house, basically. In Naples in particular, there's a 501c3 called St. Matthew's House, a nonprofit. And they have housing, and they take in homeless people in early recovery. And in order to get and keep that housing, you've got to commit to go to meetings. You've got to commit to working a job, and they check in with you and manage the housing and just oversee you and make sure you're safe. And I wanted to contribute to that. So a small part of every brick that we sell goes to St. Matt's or similar 501c3s to help build those physical structures to house people in early recovery and getting their lives back. And then the other part of that mission is me building something by offering to mentor young entrepreneurs and inspiring other people to create something themselves. So I offer my own time and anyone really to talk about entrepreneurship because, you know, like I said, entrepreneurs have been so helpful for me. I want to help other entrepreneurs. Happy to talk to any entrepreneur. Free 1 hour long conversation anytime, you know, possibly more, particularly if I can really help you or network you with someone that would help you. Happy to spend more time than that as well.
That sounds absolutely amazing. How would people learn more about that initiative and also more about Cordbrick?
Yeah, so you can go to cordbrick.com. You can find my story and then our Brick blog where we talk about our Build Something initiative. In our swag, you can grab a Build Something t-shirt that we've got. We've got some other Cordbrick magnets and hats and whatnot, right? So, but mainly just grab a Cordbrick and then, you know, share it with other people or follow us at Cordbrick. We're on all the main social media accounts and YouTube and all that. And yeah.
That sounds great. And I'll have all those links in the show notes.
Thanks
now, I
want
to move on to my rapid fire questions. This is something I've just started doing recently. It's just a little bit of fun. What is your favorite book?
Shogun, which I heard by James Clavell, which I saw Hulu is coming out with the show. So I may have to re-up my Hulu subscription to watch that fantastic book.
Oh, I haven't even heard about that one.
Yeah, it's an incredible love story. You've got to check it out.
Oh, I will for sure. Favorite food?
Got to go with fried chicken, old trusty. So good. Can't go wrong.
Nice. Well, what's your biggest pet peeve?
I would say a lack of patience as it relates to not understanding, you know, where people came from or, you know, their personal journey through life, right? I think, you know, name calling instead of kind of, you know, seeing that there's more to people than meets the eye most of the time.
I love that. Who inspires you?
Oh, man, there's so many people these days. It's great. At the beginning of the pandemic, I'm like, where is everybody? Like, we need some people to step up, honestly. Like, well, this is madness. What is going on here? Mm-hmm. So for me, those people include people like Elon, people like Jordan Peterson, obviously Joe Rogan. I personally have loved these people. Chris Williamson has an incredible podcast called Modern Wisdom that just creates great little nuggets for men in particular. You know, there's a lot of Lex Friedman and whatnot, you know, Tucker, as you can probably guess, you know, my particular leanings by some of these people, but I particularly just enjoy truth and finding out, you know, what is really going on. So that, I think that's where my personal motivations lie. And so those people have done a great job in my view of kind of uncovering some of those things.
Awesome. I think that's a great list. Three things you would take with you to a deserted island.
Oh, man. You're asking a perfectionist to pick some life-saving critical items in a very short period of time. This is a really tough one for me. I think you gotta have some kind of knife or axe, right? Maybe I'll just merge those into a machete. How about that?
Nice.
Okay, so I got a machete. Rope is extremely handy when you're on a deserted island. And then you got to go with something like some flint or something to light a fire. Yeah.
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
survival.
Answer. Yeah. Cool. A celebrity you would like to have dinner with, dead or alive?
Currently, definitely Jordan Peterson. Let's talk, bro. Come on, sit down. Let's eat some steak. Tomahawk.
Yes. That's all he eats. So that's.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you'd get.
That's right.
And your go-to karaoke song.
This might be a shocker. Lil Wayne, A Millie, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, that is a shocker. Did not expect that.
Back in 2007 college days. Heck yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
Lil Weezy.
Great. So do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with the audience before we sign off?
You know, just people always say like authentically be yourself, right? And I think what that is, you know, not being afraid of what other people think of you because it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. So, you know, being your true self, saying your true things, talking, trying to figure out what the real truth is, not being afraid of people's reactions. And if they react, you know, try to make peace, but be okay with not everybody liking you because not everybody is. There's a lot of people in this world.
Yeah.
We're not designed, I don't think, for groups of more than 150 at a time. So be willing to let a lot of people go quickly and not, you know, worry too much about a few folks.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate this conversation.
Thanks for having me, Terry.
But wait, there's more. Don't go away yet, because as soon as we stopped recording, Nick and I kept talking. And he started sharing where Cordbrick was going and his newest product. And I said, we should be recording this. So I hit the record button again, and
here's what came out of it. And if you want to see the demo that Nick does in this next segment, go to my YouTube channel and watch the video where you can see exactly what he's talking about. It's also linked in the show notes.
Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So I just want to quick give you also a little chord brick demo, if that's all right here.
Yes.
So we've got your cord wrapped around chord brick. So the reason this is super cool is because it always unwraps untangled in an instant. So you snap, wrap, and trap, and you use cord brick's end channels, which are the patented part of cord brick, and it just drops unwrapped, untangled, just like that. And so then you put cord brick, this weighted brick, anywhere, right? And so I wanted to show you as well, which I have a brand new product called Desk Brick. And one of the reasons this is cool is because you've got a cord space and gap underneath in the middle too, as well as on top to fit even more cords. Plus, you've got these little, what I call corner pockets, which are silicone little doors where you can wedge in like your phone, and you can even get it at a different angle.
That's awesome.
You know, to stand it vertically or horizontally in what I call Desk Brick. So my new product. Wanted to mention too that, I had Damon John from Shark Tank actually take out his own personal phone and video cord brick at a promotional products trade show, because it's such a great promotional product with logos on it by people's nightstands and desks. And so he videoed me in person. It was completely surreal. And then through this event I went to last week, I'm actually going to meet with Kevin Harrington, who's another former Shark. We'll see what the discussions are, but it's called A Day with the Shark. And you know, potentially at the end of the event, you know, they may consider investing. So something that we're looking forward to here in the future.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Very exciting.
Yeah, super stoked about it.
So if you enjoyed this episode, which I hope you did, make sure that you go check out Cord Brick and everything that Nick has going on. All the links are, of course, in the show notes. And if you know someone who has an idea that they would like to bring to life, make sure you share this episode with that friend. And as always, please leave your 5-star review. It helps more people like you to find this show and to benefit from it. Thank you so much for being here today. I look forward to seeing you again on Thursday with another episode. Have a great week. Bye for now.